Okay, hi everyone. Hope you can hear me and see me. I'm getting arranged here. Good. Hi, Suzanne. Nice to see you. Wonderful. All right, so Madeline and I are in South Florida at the Hippocrates Health Institute. It's about 8 o'clock here in the evening. And it's good to see, wonderful to see you all here. And we'll go ahead and get started. So this is Dr. Will Tuttle, and today is Thursday, January 6th, 2022. This is the first Thursday of January, first Thursday of 2022, an auspicious day for us to begin our journey together into this new year with all kinds of challenges, of course. The new year is always a time traditionally where everybody has high hopes and all kinds of joy and resolutions for the coming year. And I think 2022, a lot of people are approaching this year with a little bit of trepidation, wondering what's going to actually happen by December 31st, 2022, what that'll look like. I guess time will tell, but you were saying something?
No, trepidation.
Trepidation, that's a word like a little trembling.
Oh, yeah.
So, I can say welcome everyone. God, it's good, wonderful to see all you beautiful people here. It's an honor to be with you, honestly, and I'm just so glad that we're sharing the same heart space on planet Earth during these times, which are, as I just said, are certainly challenging. Welcome, Davi is joining us from England, so she's braving the night time to be with us. So thank you, Davi, for joining us. Thank you, everyone. And we're doing very well in South Florida. Just to let you know, given a quick update, we've been here at Hippocrates Health Institute. They have a new name, which I'm not used to. It's Hippocrates Wellness, but they use both. And they're doing pretty well here. There's quite a few people. It's a pretty full house, I would say. Not like it was pre-COVID when it was really packed, but there's a good 40 or 50 people, I would say, who are going through the program. It's a three-week program. And we meet people with diabetes, cancer, obesity, arthritis, vaccine injuries, quite a few different things. And they're here eating sprouts, lots of sprouts. There's probably 20 different types of sprouts on the bar every day, lunch and dinner. And then there's some other vegetables. It's a very pure, organic, mostly raw, vegan diet. With lots of exercise, they really push people if they're willing to be pushed. There's lots of running, jumping, yoga, exercising, aqua fitness, and then they have a whole range of other modalities that, I guess you'd say, energy medicine type things, cutting edge things. And a huge emphasis on positive attitude, that's the big thing. Madeline and I are giving a concert every Sunday evening for the new people. People come once a week on Sunday, and they stay for usually 3 weeks, but you can come for just 1 week, or 2 weeks, or 6 weeks, or any number of weeks you'd like, actually. But the standard, what they're really set up for, is the three-week kind of life transformation program. And I'm giving a lecture. We do lectures in the evening, usually two a week, on the World Peace Diet, on the benefits of a plant-based way of eating, on keys to healthy living. There's so many things that people need to learn but to really live a healthy lifestyle. And a lot of the people who are here, they're just here because like we had dinner with a guy with cancer. He and his wife came here from Delaware, and you know, he's been eating meat and dairy and everything, you know, just, but he thought, he's at the end of his rope, so he's having a little bit of a hard time with the food, and We were encouraging him and teaching him a little bit how to make sprouts when he gets home. So they're trying to transition to veganism for their health, and then of course we try to broaden that motivation to understand the importance of health to the environment and animals and our society and their spiritual, the spiritual dimension of their lives, the psychological dimension of their lives. And so that's very inspiring. I have to say, it's very inspiring to be here. There's some really good people, body workers and psychologists, and Brian and Anna Maria Clement are pretty legendary in the field of healing. They've worked with many tens of thousands of people over the last 40 years they've been here. And so I'm amazed that it's going, and that it's like a little tropical paradise. It's big. It's 55 acres of tropical wilderness with lots of water and fountains and art scattered through everything, and beautiful little bungalows everywhere. I mean, you really can't imagine a more beautiful place. And then they're on the same page as us about health freedom and not wearing masks and all that, but they have to kind of walk a line. But it's great to be here, and we're very grateful. So that's my little backstory of how we're doing. Hope you're all doing well in the new year, and whatever your plans are, I know we all have quite a few challenges, and opportunities. There's always opportunities, and I want to talk a little bit about that maybe after the meditation, what the opportunities are, and then. I guess we'll go ahead and get started. It looks like we've got a pretty full house. So let's go ahead and get ready for our time of meditation. I apologize for the lack of a piano here. We're in our little room. Don't tell anybody, but we never sleep in this room. We sleep in our van, which is parked in front of the house. This is a little house here. But we really prefer sleeping in our little van to this bedroom. But we come in here to emails and things in the evening after dinner. So, okay, we'll go ahead and get started. I will,
yoga.
Madeline, is there yoga in here in the morning, right? Yeah. So we'll go ahead and get started. I won't be able really very easily to provide, I don't think, I'm just thinking about it out loud here, but I'm afraid it's might be complicated. I was going to say I could maybe play some of my music as a background, piano music, meditation background, but I think we'll just do it without music at this point. All right, so I invite you to, let's turn our attention within. Feel free to turn, you can leave your camera on if you want, or you can turn it off, however you're comfortable. And we will begin our time of meditation. So, make sure my settings are up, and it looks like we're good. Yeah. So let's, as we begin our time, give thanks for this moment that we have, this precious moment right now. The word for today is valuing. Just valuing our life, valuing our loved ones, valuing this beautiful planet, and all the animals and other living beings who are sharing this beautiful earth with us, valuing the sun and the moon and the stars and the clouds, cosmos, the infinite mystery in which we are embedded, valuing all of our talents and skills and abilities within us, valuing the wisdom that we have that we can use to navigate our lives during these difficult times, valuing the courage that's in our heart. And, of course, the word courage means heart. It's the heart quality of looking into life without fear, knowing that what we are is essentially indestructible and eternal. So what is there to fear? Nothing. No thing. So we value the eternal diamond-like nature of our mind, crystal clarity, eternal, the brightest, most penetrating power in the universe is our own mind. And we value the beauty of our heart, the capacity that we have to feel and to empathize with others, to feel compassion for other living beings. We value our sensitivity, and we value our tenderness and the sense of mercy that we have for other beings, human beings, for animals, for children, for future generations. We value the sense of clarity in our moral principles. We value our integrity, that we know that we draw lines clearly and fulfill boundaries that are healthy in order to be an embodiment of ahimsa, compassion and non-harmfulness to other beings, so that we maintain a sense of truthfulness and honesty and authenticity in our lives. So we value our integrity and our willingness to make an effort to be in alignment in all aspects of our life with our values. And we value our sense of generosity, our willingness to give of ourselves, and to give of not only our financial abundance, knowing that the more we give, the more will come in. The more abundance we create, we give of our talents and abilities, of our time, of our love and awareness. We are here on this earth, as my old Zen teacher used to say, to be givers, to give. And we give thanks and we value that sense of generosity that lives within us. We value the patience that we have as a quality of consciousness, that we're willing to be in this present moment and be a witness to what is arising in our feelings, in our thoughts, in our body and mind, and in our affairs, in the world around us, to look out at everything, and whatever is happening, to send our love to everyone involved, withholding criticism, blaming, just valuing the sense of patience. We understand that everything unfolds in the fullness of time. That time in many ways is an illusion. So we sometimes lose sight of that perhaps, and we want things to happen more quickly or more slowly. And our patience is the great wisdom that keeps us in a sense of letting go, sense of generosity and forgiveness and forgiveness, of understanding and wisdom to know what others are going through. So we value the patience that we have, that always is getting stronger every day within our being. We understand that there is a time for everything, and everything is in its season. So we allow a deeper wisdom to fill our minds and hearts, sense of compassion for all living beings and the parts they are playing. And then we especially value also the quality of zealous effort, the willingness to enthusiastically work hard. This is a very essential quality that lives within us, the ability to really roll up our sleeves and make an effort, whether it's to learn something or to help out or to contribute, to get the job done that we feel needs to be done, to fulfill our mission on this earth, to live our purpose on this earth, to strive to reach a higher level of awareness, to strive to overcome our faults and our shortcomings, to bring clarity to our delusions. All of this takes effort. Without effort, nothing happens. Without effort, we descend into the pits of despair and suffering. So it's really our effort that comes out of the truth that we are, to bring our mind into clarity and to learn what it is that calls out for learning, to undertake the challenges and the opportunities that we're facing in this particular incarnation. So zealous effort is something that we especially value. This is really a key quality that surges through every cell in our being. Our heart is beating with zealous effort, with a sense of enthusiasm, sense of gratitude, and bringing and helping to propel the life-giving nutrients and energy into every cell. The trillions of cells are all nourished by one heart, by each and every beat of our heart. And we let go into the great effort that is living through us. We realize that it's really not our effort. It's the effort of the universe itself, birthing itself through us. So we are living as a function of the universe, the function of the infinite love that is bringing forth beauty, understanding, and healing and awakening into our world and is using us as an instrument. So it may seem that we're working, but actually there's something working through us. So we are in harmony with the great power and energy of the universe. The chi and the prana of the universe runs through our heart, through all of our organs, through our mind, through our nervous system, brings everything into alignment. So we value our connection with the infinite intelligence of the universe that guides us so that our efforts are in alignment with the highest purpose that we have. We give thanks that this effort manifests as a sense of discipline, this beautiful sense of doing what is the right thing to do for us in any moment and moving ahead in that way, a sense of moving beyond our comfort zone if necessary, to move outside of our comfort zone, to try new things, to take risks and relish a new adventure, to try out a new project or a new way of being in the world. All of these take effort to get out of the ruts that tend to insinuate themselves as the weeks and months and years go by. So we rest in this sense of joy in the effort that comes through us, and all the tremendous efforts of all the systems and organs in our body that are here to serve us. The vehicle is here to serve the one who drives the vehicle, the infinite eternal being. So we look out of our eyes and we value the efforts of others. All the efforts that are being made by so many people to bring healing and awareness to whatever is happening in the world where there is conflict and misunderstanding and disease and corruption, to bring clarity and purity and to shine the light of truth into the darkness. So we give thanks and value the efforts of all the other human beings in our world today who are on the front lines, either visible or non-visible, that are helping to raise the tide of human awareness. We give thanks to all the efforts and value all the efforts of those who have gone before us, all of the people who have worked to help establish freedom and justice and awareness, loving kindness in our relationships. We value all of the efforts of all the non-human beings, the animals of this earth who have given of themselves so fully of their love and their awareness to help bring more wisdom into the human world and onto our planet. We give thanks for all the other beings, the non-visible beings that we know are with us here on this earth, for all of their assistance and blessings in the unfoldment of consciousness here on this earth as well. There are tremendous forces in alignment with the higher powers, and so we value those, and we have a sense of valuing what we can bring to this unfoldment. And we value the capacity of our mind to be at peace. Take a moment and really value our own inner peace. Value the sense of meditative equanimity that rests below the surface. No matter how distracted we may seem in any given moment or distressed about something that's happening, we know that at a deeper level, our true nature is witnessing and watching, is completely at peace always with whatever happens. It's not captured by the drama. It watches the drama, maybe with one eyebrow half raised, with a little smile on its face, kind of noticing the whatever's happening. And we can actually let go of identifying so strongly with the actor in the drama and realize we are the being that's making everything possible. It all arises within our infinite and eternal consciousness. We are not a physical body. We are the space of consciousness within which everything is arising, the awareness. So we give thanks and we value the meditative mind that is our true nature. It's always present. It's always there. When we meditate, it's not that we're adopting some foreign, strange, unusual, un-American kind of exotic mentality. It may seem like that because it's so rare in many ways in our world today, but actually meditation is merely letting go of what is not us. Letting go of the delusions and the distractions that keep us with our wheels spinning around and around, and returning to awareness without trying to change, criticize or blame or praise or please anyone, including our parents, even though they're long gone, or our children, or ourselves. And resting in the awareness of the eternal nature of life itself, which is what we are. So we know and we give thanks that all beings are our brothers and sisters, that all life is one life, the same source that shines through my eyes, shines through the eyes of every animal and human being, and all beings of all dimensions and directions. So we can value this meditative mind that is ever present, and we allow this meditative mind to grow in our life and grow in our experience, so that we're acting from this point of intuitive awareness where we trust the process and we trust the flow of the river that we're on, and just keep our eyes open for the obstacles, and we can navigate our way through as we learn. So we also value that basic sense we have of the workableness of our life and of our capacity to learn. We value that capacity to learn and to rise higher in our vibratory rate, to vibrate at a rate where we're not being pulled in to the fear dramas that are tempting us all the time right now, trying to pull us down. Just as vegans, we have no yearning to eat the flesh and secretions of animals. And it has no attraction to us because we understand. This is a person would have no yearning to put their hand on a hot burner of a stove. Like, why would I do that? Why would I go and eat the flesh of animals? Why would I say something that is hurtful to another person? Or why would I indulge in a self-critical thought or a thought that's critical of others? It's the same as not putting our hand on the hot stove. It has no attraction to us. Once we understand how the mind works and we get a glimpse of our true nature. So we give thanks and we value this power of our mind to discriminate, to learn, to also to rest in peace. And finally, we value the capacity that we have for self-transcendence, to actually grow out of ourselves. The most famous haiku poem in the world ever written is the famous haiku poem written by Basho. It's very simple. It goes like this. Lily, out of the water, out of itself. That haiku poem an inspiration at a very deep level, because it's looking very deeply. The lily, what is the lily? We are the lily, and we grow and we express and we emerge out of the water, which is our surrounding, and then at a deeper level we emerge out of even that, out of the form. So we can awaken, we have that potential, each one of us, to a whole higher level of awareness and being. And this is what is being called forth now, that we can no longer function from the level of manipulation of nature, of animals, of each other, and we're here to be a force of the universe and of nature itself, for healing and for living, to that's something greater than ourselves. It's our true nature to act through our thoughts and words and deeds. So this is the power that we value, the power of transcendental awareness, where we are no longer a commodity, we're no longer just an object along with a bunch of other objects in the world. So valuing our freedom to explore these thoughts together, valuing the essential sovereignty that we have, that all living beings have, valuing the empowerment that is rising on this earth right now in the face of a lot of suppression and oppression, valuing the sense of solidarity that we feel with each other, and just valuing the beauty of nature all around us that exemplifies everything perfectly. It exemplifies the beauty of sovereignty of individual beings, the beauty of the infinite interconnectedness of all beings, that there's no conflict between these two, that everything works together, that everyone has a part to play, and we open to understanding our role in the whole unfoldment from this day as we go forward. So as we begin to move toward the ending time of our meditation, we especially bring in the animals of this earth, all the animals that are used for food. You can just see them, the cows and pigs and chickens and turkeys and ducks and geese and lambs and goats and sheep and rabbits and deer and alligators and so many animals are used for food. Even lobsters are farmed. I'm talking about animals that are farmed. Octopuses they're trying to do now. We just send them our love, our appreciation, our apologies on behalf of humanity, that we are in a spell, but we're awakening from that spell, and we're helping to awaken humanity from that spell. We give thanks knowing that this is true, and we give thanks and we value not only all these animals that are used for food, but all the animals that are used by humans in other ways, in vivisection laboratories, that are used for down and silk and wool and other products. We just give them their freedom. We grant them freedom. We liberate them now in our mind. We liberate them now in reality. They've always been free and they are free. All the animals in zoos and rodeos, in aquariums and everywhere, all the different ways that human beings imprison animals, we liberate them all. And we just rejoice now seeing the liberation of all the animals of this earth. And we know that whatever is conceived in our minds, we plant the seed in the world of form. And it will follow. And we give thanks knowing that all animals are liberated. They've always been liberated. That's their true nature. We give thanks knowing that all human beings are liberated. We've always been liberated. There's nothing that can take our liberty away. That's our true nature. Anything else is an illusion. We give thanks knowing and honoring and valuing the complete freedom of our thoughts, of our creative capacities, of our feelings, of our spiritual energies, of our relationships, all of our creative abilities, all of our musical and artistic and dramatic and athletic capacities have free range to build and explore, to learn and to grow, and to understand, and to work together. So we see the complete freedom and liberation, the complete emptying of all hospitals and insane asylums and prisons and all institutions where freedom is, or disease, or any of these other illusions are manifest. We just let them all go. We let all these illusions go, and we give thanks, and we see every being as a radiating center of light, a radiating center of joy and power, a radiating center of compassion and wisdom. And we see that there is no being who has any physical disease of any kind or any psychological disease of any kind. We are all diamond beings. So we value the true nature of all life, and we see that is all there is. That's the ultimate truth. And we see the planet Earth now from outer space, bathed in the light of joy and abundance and peace and beauty. All the animals living freely, their lives. All the human beings living freely and in harmony with each other. Savoring and valuing our life here on this Earth. And so now we just bring the whole meditation back to ourselves, to our own body, and to our heart. We see and feel our heart as a beacon of light. We visualize our heart as a beacon of light, just radiating light that turns around, shining light into the world, into every dimension of our own affairs. Any issues of lack or concern are just dissolved by the light shining from the beacon of our heart. We are the beacon. Each one of us is a beacon. We shine in the light, we shine our light in the night, and fill the night with the light of truth, compassion and joy and freedom and peace and harmony, abundance and awareness and truth. So we allow that to go through every organ in our body, every cell in our being, every dimension of our affairs, and we know that this beacon is ever present, forever. Having any difficulties, we can remember that we have a beacon shining in our heart that can light up our pathway, and we will be doing always what is the right thing for us to be doing at that moment, because that is our true nature. We're guided by the inner beacon of our own wisdom. So thank you all very much for joining in our meditation. As we bring this meditation to a close, we give thanks, knowing that we are part of the awakening of humanity on this earth right now. We're part of the awakening of human consciousness as the embodiment of kindness and creativity and joy on this earth, to play and celebrate our lives with the non-human animals and with each other and with the beautiful rivers and forests, and lakes and streams and oceans, the birds and flowers, that we're easily able to be fed by all of the vegetables and fruits and grains, that we're even easily able to be fed by the energy in the air. Just breathing is enough. And even beyond that, not even breathing. Just allowing the energy to flow through us and into us. We are on the path of discovery and learning. So we give thanks finally, knowing that each one of us, as we go forth into our lives now, in the upcoming weeks, every day will be an opportunity to awaken more fully, to contribute more profusely, to learn and grow more enthusiastically, and to love more authentically, and to contribute the piece of the puzzle that we have to contribute, to help bring the world of joy and liberation that is beckoning to us. There's nothing stopping us. All we're called to do is to keep walking forward, and we know and give thanks that every day every one of us will be doing that. And by doing that, we encourage everyone in our world to do the same thing. That's the greatest gift we can give to others, is to live our own life authentically. Each one of us who lives our life authentically is a beacon of light in the world. So thank you all very much. You're beautiful beings, and your spirits and your awareness and wisdom. And we close the meditation now, giving thanks, knowing through the power and presence of the infinite love that is the source of all life. We give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. Okay, so it is. All right, so thank you. Much love to all of you. Thanks so much for joining together in our meditation. And it went a little bit longer than usual, but you never know what'll happen. I really like that image that came to me out of the blue of the beacon. It has maybe I shouldn't say it, but I'll just say it anyway. The beacon has a special meaning to me, but I've always sort of avoided using that word. But when I was born, my father had just bought a newspaper, and the newspaper was called The Beacon. And so when I was born, right after I was born, my father and mother printed a special edition of the newspaper. And he made a joke. He said, instead of calling it, the big headline was Town Crier. My father said I had the strongest pair of lungs he'd ever heard in his life. I could really, really yell and scream pretty loudly. But the headline was, Heir to the Beacon is Born, because I was the oldest child. I was the first child. And so I was kind of born and raised to take over the beacon. You know, the newspaper was the beacon. And it was like, my mother was the artist, and she always would, you know, every few years she'd draw a new version of the beacon. At first it was kind of an old-fashioned beacon with a, on the rocks, shining out over the ocean, and then it became kind of a new modern beacon. You know, but anyway, there was always this beacon in my life everywhere. I was working at the beacon. I was Mr. Beacon. So, anyway, but now just during this meditation, I suddenly realized that that's a really beautiful image. You know, the beacon, a beacon is sending out the light that really guides us. And I think this is something that we can all cultivate. Now we're on such uncharted territory. You know, other years before this, we kind of knew more or less what to expect, and life kind of had certain basic rules to it. And that most of that's been washed away at this point, and we're entering really a whole uncharted territory. So I think the idea of a beacon is a beautiful idea, and the way it just sort of radiates in a circular way the light, or maybe in a spherical way, the light of wisdom and compassion. And the main point I mentioned earlier that I wanted to emphasize that maybe will be helpful in some way, it's been helpful to me lately when I've been thinking about it, is something that we don't talk about in our society very much. It seems like it's sort of not accepted. It's an idea that's really not accepted. But I think it's an important idea, so I'm just going to say it, because I think it really is an important perspective. And that is that we need to remember to take a big picture look at our life, and especially during these kind of times, but all the time. And in the West, again, we don't do this. We're not allowed to even hardly say this. But anyway, to realize that we are multi-dimensional beings. We're not just living one life, and that's it, and then we go on to heaven or hell or whatever. That this is that we are definitely a manifestation of consciousness that's manifesting in a realm. You know, like the realm right now is this earth, and we're definitely going to be leaving this body. And our human life only lasts a few years, as you've heard me say before. And when we leave this body, we'll be manifesting again, a vehicle for sure. And we'll be looking over how we functioned in this life. We'll be evaluating. We'll get a life review, and we'll be reviewing how we responded to the situation here. And it's not going to matter what other people thought of us. It's not going to matter what we accumulated, how much we suffered or not. I mean, what's going to matter is, what did we learn? Did we come here and do what we're supposed to do? And this is one of hundreds of lifetimes, probably thousands of lifetimes. So, you know, we have to kind of get over the fact that we think, oh, I've got this age and this weight and this set of challenges and all of that. Yeah, I mean, it's true, we have that, but really try to see a bigger picture, that we are the being that makes this possible. And the one that's kind of waving to you right now, whatever, you know, this one with a name and a form, is in the Zen tradition they say it's a thief, because it steals away the truth of our being. They also say in Zen, if you die before you die, then when you die, you won't die. You know, the basic idea that if we understand our true nature and sort of die to this narrow view of ourselves that we're hanging on to, that we want to have a good life and have everything work the way we want it to work and retire nicely and have everything just play out how society says it should play out if we're happy and successful. I mean, that's maybe not why we're here. So that's the thing that's been hitting me lately. It's like, what matters is how we respond to the challenges. Sometimes we think, oh, we don't want such big challenges. They're too big. It's too terrible. It's too terrifying. It's too much. You know, like, you know, the dark force looks like it might take over the whole planet and then, you know, throw us all in a terrible camp or whatever. But the whole idea is to see that, we are here during this time to respond, right? So how do we respond? In a way, not from this point of view, but from the point of view of the being who, in a sense, is our creator, or the being who's the real, the true being. And that's quite a challenge. That's quite a perspective. I don't think anyone can do that for anyone else. It's a very intensely personal kind of a quest. But to discover the true being, and how do we respond to these challenges? Is it to just try to survive, to try to make my way, or is it to really just try to help everyone around me? And what is really help? What help? What is actually helping them? What is that? What is our unique lesson here during this time? What are we here to get and to learn? So I think for the beginning of this year, we're seeing unprecedented changes. We're seeing all kinds of things happening that we can hardly imagine in other times, and all kinds of things. I mean, you know, I like today in Australia, a man burned himself to death in protest, right? We had self-immolation happening in Australia. I mean, this is amazing. Like, this is what happened in the Vietnam War, where some of the Buddhist monks would set themselves on fire in protest to the killing. We have in Australia citizens self-immolating themselves in protest to the war against them. I saw today that Kazakhstan just overthrew the president. The president ran out of the country. The vice president, I think, ran out of the country. I mean, the whole country's been overthrown by the people. I mean, that's an amazing thing. Because of the vaccine policy. The people couldn't get their money out of the banks without being vaccinated, so they just overthrew the country. They broke down all the banks. They stole all the money out of the banks. I mean, they burned all government buildings. Well, not all of them, but they were, you know, they really, like, arrested the police. I mean, they really went after them. So I don't know if that'll be allowed to happen. That's what I heard from an Australian journalist. But anyway, there's all kinds of things that we can't imagine happening in other years. Already the death toll of the went up 40% in the third quarter. I mean, it's a once in every 200 years for the death rate of people 18 to 64 to go up 10%. It went up 40%. This is absolutely because of the injections. I mean, obviously. So there's we are in a major time of, and we're just in the sense just entering it. So I think it's very important for us who are vegans and conscious and meditative and so forth, that we're in a sense, I think, the force, part of the force that holds things together, that makes everything possible. So it's really important, I think, for us to do our inner work, to meditate and connect and see and feel a positive outcome. That there's a that life and love and truth and wisdom and divine awareness are unstoppable and eternal and ultimately always victorious. And just know that, and that we are. That's what our life is all about, and then let our guidance come from that. So I'm not sure how that's all going to play out. Nobody knows, but we are definitely in for the ride of our lives, I'm sure, in many ways. And there's a lot of sadness. It's hard to see people suffering, people dying prematurely by the thousands, or being killed, really. So, but there's a tremendous light too. There's a tremendous opportunity for us to, as a society and as humanity, to birth ourselves, birth something new. We can perhaps finally see the shadows that have been sort of hiding for so many centuries, and have been from the shadows sort of dominating the world, and now they're actually being revealed. So this is a very powerful time, and the most important thing, I think, is to keep questioning everything. Keep questioning all of the stories. There's a great saying by Plato 2,500 years ago. Plato said a lot of things. I mean, Socrates actually said it, but Plato reported it. And so the saying was, those who tell the stories rule the land, right? And so that's the thing. I mean, there's the media and the storyteller, keep telling us what the story is, right? And to keep us afraid and divided and medicated and just disempowered and ultimately completely enslaved. So it's our job to tell the story, right? Tell the new story. Tell the story of truth. Tell the story of the infinite interconnectedness of all life, of this essential joy and health of our true nature, of a tremendous wisdom in our physical body for healing, that we don't need toxic chemicals to be healthy, and to really reject that whole story completely, and to tell, but not just reject it, to tell a new story. And so that's a challenge. I think that's something that really needs to happen, and it's happening. We're telling new stories of love and empowerment and healing. And I think honoring and valuing the qualities that we have for uplifting our world. And vegan values are those values. The vegan values are decentralized connectedness with each other, with the earth, compassion and kindness for other expressions of life, self-reliance, relying on ourselves, essentially, to be healthy and to create quality relationships, right? Not depending on those outside of us. I think the more we, each one of us is a giver, and we give our of our strengths and our abilities, that we just uplift everybody and encourage others to do the same thing, to come into our own individual sovereign power. And that's, of course, within the context of realizing that we're more than just this physical body, and that's a very important part of the whole thing. So I think I'll stop here. Oh my gosh, I can't believe how late it got. So it's about time for us to stop. Does anyone, it's probably not fair to just say, does anyone have something you'd like to say? But I'll just say it anyway. Anyone have something you'd like to add to what I've been saying here? Let's see. Oh, Devi says that's the second person. Wow, must not even the first person. So yes, anyone want to share something? It's been really, again, wonderful just to see your beautiful faces, and not just your faces, to feel the beings that you are, and to know that we're on the same team, the same family, essentially. And we're each learning, you know, from each other, and so I'm very honored to be able to spend this time with you. And Madeline is right here. Do you want to show your beautiful face, too? Maybe everyone can see. She's right here, too, and we're... Hi.
Hello.
So,
hi.
Yeah, so, all right, well, I just wrote an article, and you can, I sent it out, but it's on our website. If you go to worldpeacediet.com, it's called it's about the three furies.
Yes.
And which are the Erinyes in the ancient Greek mythology, and they're they basically mete out retribution to anyone who is violating the natural order of things. And so I'm just saying, look, we human beings have been violating the natural order for a long time by slaughtering all these animals, and the furies are punishing us, and we don't even see it. Like, we're getting sick, we're fighting each other, we're enslaving each other, we're forced medicating each other. As I said, the punishment fits the crime. You know, whatever we're doing to them is happening to us. And so you can read that article if you just go to our website and click on New Essays and share it around if you think it's worthwhile. I think it's this message I just see, it's not happening. There's a lot of people who are really interested in veganism. That's important. There's a lot of people really interested in health freedom. That's important. But very often it's not. They're like two different camps. They're not the same people. And they should be the same people. And how could they not be the same people, right? We're for liberation of all beings, right? That means all beings, including human beings. So we should not be going along with this theater of fear and medical tyranny. And it's just crazy. All right. So, please, let's keep the momentum going. We look forward to seeing you. We're going to be here at Hippocrates till about February 5th. And then we're going to be, the plan is anyway, in our little van doing lectures around Florida at some Veg Fest and other neat places where people are still doing that. And then heading back slowly to California, maybe doing some more lectures on the way. And so we look forward, if possible, to see you guys somewhere along the way, either literally or perhaps virtually. So thanks very much. Maybe we can, it's pretty much time to close.
Yeah.
Maybe we can say our prayer together. You can unmute yourself if you'd like, and we can all join in it together. You all know what it is, I think. We can say it together three times. So let's join in together. Here we go.
Compassion, circles, fear, all beings, everywhere.
One more time with feeling.
Compassion, circles, fear, all beings, everywhere.
Okay, all you beacons, go forth and shine your light.
Thank you so much, Will.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, we love you. Love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Madeline. Thank you. Love you.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Love you. All right.
Bye.
Night.
Bye.
Night.
Night.
Night, everyone.
Night, Christina.
Good night.
Night, everyone. Good night.